Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. A new guy says, on a related note, last night's debacle was painful. Did you ever get to speak? The one speaker dominated thanks to his verbal acuity, not to any facts, knowledge, or insight. I was so hoping they would let you take him down a few pegs, but the host seems to be on his side ultimately. Yeah, that was absolutely ridiculous, disgusting, the way Mario Nafal's podcast treated me. I'm willing to forgive for this one time, but this was absolute unprofessional behavior. So I canceled my show yesterday. I canceled because Mario Nafal invited me to his podcast. So I thought, you know what, it's an important appearance there. There's always a lot of crowd, and so I want to concentrate on this. I'm canceling my show. Now, when you explicitly invite me, I expect to be able to speak, not to have to beg until the end. And yes, I did get to speak. You know how much time? 30 seconds without interruption. And in fact, they were extremely impolite in that 30 seconds, and they closed the show abruptly. So, you know, when you invite someone, it's because you don't have anyone else, right? It's because you're not sure you're going to make the news tonight. And let's call JF. He always has something interesting to say. So that is what I expect if you invite me on a show. I expect to be able to speak. And if I do the sacrifice and my crowd cannot listen to me on my show, I expect them to be able to listen to me on your show. On top of it, this was a subject on which I had much to say. And the people that they let speak for hours were absolutely ridiculous. They were emotional CRT teachers that had nothing to do really with the main the main subject. The main subject was chaos on the streets in Chicago. Why is that happening? And we get a bunch of teachers that say, oh, you know, we need more cultural, appropriate education curriculums. And, oh, well, I'm not really doing CRT in my class. And how, and they get into this ridiculous technical discussion. Not that I don't want to hear about this, but, you know, there was a way you could have taken 3 hours of this podcast and reduced it to 10 minutes. So when I get invited, I'm not supposed to have to beg. Now, here I am applying for speaker, and they're not inviting me. And you know what? At some point during the hours, I realized Mario Nafal is not even hosting his own show. He has co-hosts that are doing the job, and he's not even responding to any of his DMs or anything. So he was there standing with the image, but he was not speaking. Now, so basically his co-hosts are doing the job. Okay, you know, that's something if you can ensure that they do a good job. But the co-hosts turn out to be fully leftist, siding with CRT teachers, and we never get to get a solid pushback. Other than there was a guy, the guy with a raccoon image on his Twitter. This guy was doing good, but he was alone with Jennifer and Corey DeAngelis. They were sometimes coming in, but he was alone, truly addressing and fighting back against the leftist. I would have loved to be there. Now, at the very end, so I waited so long with my phone like this, ready to speak, ready to be invited, that my phone blows off. My phone, the battery went from 47% to poof, 10%. I was seeing it 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. It totally dropped. And so I'm like, holy shit, now I lose the connection to the Twitter space. Now I have to plug it in the wall. I have to reset my phone because it's not starting. So something bugged. It overheated from the leftist arguments. So eventually I get my phone properly restarted, and now I'm plugged at 1% battery. And now they get me to speaker, but they say we're going to close the show now. They say we're going to close the show before inviting me to speaker status. And it's like, okay, so we're going to close. And now I'm speaker. They're like, okay, guys, so this is it for tonight. Thank you for coming, and bye-bye. Mario, anything to add before we close the show? And I, hey, can I get 30 seconds here? And now I'm faced with all the facts I want to bring about the desperate situation in Chicago and the fact that it's not a bunch of teachers with CRT or not CRT that are going to fix this problem. There is a demographic, criminal, anarcho-tyranny, political hate problem in Chicago. And I had all of the facts lined up, but I'm like, well, in this context, I can't line shit. He just closed the fucking show. And so I'm like, okay, JF, you are a positive individual. These people are assholes, but the crowd didn't do anything to you. So how can you do a good service to the crowd without while using what seems to be the last 10 seconds that you have on this show? And so I'm like, I just want to say that it's absolutely false that white people tend to be more likely to be mass shooters. The statistics are clear. White people are underrepresented in the mass shooter category. Black people are overrepresented. Because there was one of the CRT black guys who had made this point. Why don't we teach white people not to be mass shooters? And the disrespect of Mario Nafal and the unprofessionalism was stunning. First, he starts yelling over me and saying, well, Jeff, we don't hear your mic. Well, first, I'm here to deliver a 10 seconds message. If you can just shut the fuck up for a minute, I will deliver it in the best way I can. I'm sorry if my microphone doesn't work, but since you're about to close the show in 10 seconds, how does that fucking matter? That's not what I said, but that's how I felt inside of me. Like, you don't take the time to correct someone on their microphone if they've already ended their sentence. And anyways, the reason I found out that they were having issue airing my microphone is that I didn't understand that when you don't have a earphone in Twitter space, they kind of mute you when others speak over you. Whereas if you have the earphone plugged in, they don't mute you. So that's an aspect of Twitter space I didn't know about. I mean, I'm professional in terms of sound generation. I know everything about it, but that was a specific thing about Twitter space I didn't know. Basically, the guy who's plugged in has an advantage in the Bloodsport arena. So he speaks over me while I'm just trying to finish my sentence. And I'm like, so the guy earlier who said that white people tend to be mass shooter is absolutely wrong. I want to correct this fact. I know this is a journalistic show, you know. And Mario Nafal, this fucking, I mean, and I want to be clear. I'm not holding anything against Mario Nafal going forward because I'm capable of one forgiveness in my life, one forgiveness for every human. And I forgive Mario Nafal because maybe there's something I don't know about what was happening in his life. Maybe his kid just got cancer or something. Or, you know, you never know when the host is not there mentally. Maybe there's something really grave that explains it. So, okay, it's like I'm going to give my one forgiveness case today. But just to tell you how it felt, Mario Nafal, in response to me bringing this fact, says, well, did anyone claim this? And I'm like, holy shit. Not only does this guy invite people on his show that he doesn't give the speaker status to, he doesn't even host his show. He doesn't even listen to his show. He doesn't even listen to his fucking show. That is what happens when you mass produce a podcast, you know? There's a point at which you're producing more than you can even hear. Mario Nafal didn't know that 30 minutes before I say this, someone on his show had claimed this. And so I'm like, yeah. And I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable the layers of stupidity here. So I'm like, yeah, someone claimed this. And so, and now I'm about to just lay out all of the statistics, all of the percentages properly calculated, showing that whites are underrepresented. And Mario Nafal cuts me off and says to his co-host, let's look at ChatGPT. What does ChatGPT say about this? Jeff, let us check ChatGPT. And I'm like, I am a PhD in neuroscience, postdoc researcher in cognitive psychology. And I'm about to be fact-checked by ChatGPT. And I'm invited on this show. I'm given 10 seconds to debunk 3 hours of falsehood and leftist crap. And on the one thing I decide to say, I'm going to die on that hill, I'm being held to the ChatGPT verification standard. And my pragmatic brain goes into mode, thinking mode, and I'm like, well, let's just hope that ChatGPT gets it right. Because it does seem that if ChatGPT happens to have made an error in his compilation of racial statistics on mass shooters, I will be deemed to have been wrong. And so I wait. I wait for the judgment day, the judgment of ChatGPT. Go ahead, shower me with truth, ChatGPT. Luckily, ChatGPT is working with the same stats as I do. But the stupid leftist co-host. Unbelievable. Layers after layers of crap. The stupid leftist co-host looks at the graph provided on Statista as the answer from ChatGPT or whatever. He sees 74 mass shootings. The bar says 74 mass shootings in the white category over 142 mass shootings in the last about 40 years. And the co-host or Deshaun, I don't know exactly who said this, but they say 75%. And I'm like, not only do I know how ChatGPT functions, not only do I know where you get your 75, not only do I know that you just Google Statista.com, mass shooter by race, not only do I know the graph that inspired you to say 75%, 74%, not only do I know how this number was calculated, I also know that it's not 74%. It's 74 absolute in number. And before I can say that, Mario Nafal is, well, so 74%, okay, well, is that an overrepresentation? And I'm like, no, 74 as a round number. You have to divide it by 142. And I can't even say this because they keep cutting me down. And at some point, Mario Nafal is like, for fuck's sake, JF, shut up. And I'm like, I can tell you what it gives at the end. And I see these fucking idiots, these low IQ fucking sewer level rats of the internet do the whole calculation in front of me as they realize that it's not a percentage. And the number I was ready to give 1 minute ago, if they had just let me speak, they eventually reach it. Mario Nafal is like, okay, co-host, divide 74 by 142. And I'm like, yes, it gives 52%. And Mario Nafal is, okay, Jeff, 52%. Okay, now, what's the white population in America? And I'm like, 75%. At this point, I understand that I cannot speak more than a second before these fucking idiots will cut me trying to help them figure it out. And Mario Nafal goes on and says, all right, Jeff, well, thank you. Thank you for bringing this. In fact, it's very important. Numbers, huh? Numbers numbers, when you use numbers on this show, we ask two people to bring numbers and where they get it from. And so it's good that you did this. And looking at 52% versus 75%, it does speak for your side. And I'm like, it doesn't speak for my side. It shows that this guy is just lying. He's lying. And when you ask him for correcting the number, it doesn't speak for my side. It abolishes any other possible truths. It shows that this guy is a bullshitter. It shows that if in 10 seconds I was able, while being cut by all these people, to debunk your fucking crap on one point, imagine what I could have done with 10 minutes. That's how I felt. But I find myself in the pillar of hate. You know, I do ticks. And now I have 11 pillars of hate accumulated against Mario Nafal, and I decide to erase them. I forgive, because I have learned from Nick Fuentes and from Jesus Christ that forgiving frees your heart. It frees your heart. And therefore, I forgive Mario Nafal, because clearly, the fact that he wasn't listening to his own show tells me that, and that the co-host came to be very dominant in the show, tells me perhaps something has happened. So perhaps something got his attention away from his show, and perhaps this wasn't his best day. So I forgive all of it, but holy shit, people, be more professional and don't invite Papa JF if you're not ready to have Papa JF speak. I mean, the facts that I had lined up were totally responsive to everything they were saying in that thing. I followed the debate for 3 hours. I had stacked all of the facts. We had Jamal making the case that we have to go in Finland, because in Finland, public school works great. And we have to find what it is that they do in Finland that we don't do correctly in Chicago. Let me talk to you a little bit about Finland. Do you want to know what's the clearance rate for murders and killings in Finland? I mean, it's a physically impossible clearance rate, 189.2%. And that's just because this year they happened to resolve a lot of cases from murders of previous year. But on average, you're hovering around 80 to 100%. Anyone gets killed in Finland, it gets solved. Is that not a good service? Now, consider Chicago. What is the murder clearance rate for Chicago for the black areas? 22%. So see, in Finland, if my brother gets killed, we find the murderer, they go to jail. In Chicago, and if I'm a black man, my brother gets killed, there's 4 chances out of 5 that they won't find the murderer. So you can't take Chicago, cut it out the map, lift it, fly it to Finland, and put it in the exact Finnish system of education. You're gonna get nothing from it. Because the question of education fixing outcomes in society is taken for granted by the leftist. It's never been proven, and it's not true. The leftists assume, oh, well, it must be education that make white people so good, that make white people converge toward non-murder. No, it's not. It's an illusion. It's a delusion. And because you've never had to prove this delusion under any standard of reasonable proof, you have cradled yourself into deception. Education cannot fix an ecological, demographic, and sociological issue, an economic issue. There is way more than what's happening in the school itself that is determining the outcomes of these places. And if you cannot even be assured that the people who commit murder will eventually be found, if in fact the majority of the cases end up being unresolved, with 80% of the cases not resolved, and if you look at the clearance rates for theft, for property damage, same thing, 17% nationally, and probably much lower in Chicago. You are in a state of non-propriety, of illegality. The order and law has been destroyed, and so you can't educate in this context, first. And second, the demographics that you're trying to educate may be even incapable of processing the information that you're trying to put in their brain. And this whole conversation, ultimately, this is one of the things I would have said, is kind of racist, to be honest, because they apply white standards, really, to populations that naturally wouldn't converge toward this, these standards. I mean, go into Africa, you won't find, you know, suburb life of the kind that you find in white America. That's because it's not the point of convergence of the demographics that you're looking at. They converge toward other things. And so trying to force them into the funnel of white success and evaluating their success in life by white standard is kind of racist. Fractal Man says, one guy made a good point. We have a large percent of students in these schools that can't read. Yet we are trying to teach them about the intricacies of race relations. Yeah, I mean, it's... It was quite stunning. We had the same obfuscation. It was a bunch of CRT leftist teachers who were just denying explicitly that they were doing CRT. But then in all of their implicit ways of talking about education, you could see that it had penetrated their worldview. It's like, I don't do CRT education, but here, let's educate the white mass shooters not to be white mass shooters. Bro. This is CRT. The anti-white root of CRT is sweating through what you're saying. Anyways, you know, again, forgiveness. Forgiveness because sometimes people don't get it right all the time. And I'm not going to judge someone on a single shot. However, if I ever get disrespected in the way I was a second time, I'm done with Nafal. I will consider him a clown, a fucking clown. Much love to him, though. CBC rages because Twitter states the truth about their unfair competitive advantage in Canadian media. Yeah, Speaker's Corner says no forgiveness. My heart... I used to be a young man, and I used to say that a lot. And yeah, I guess I'm becoming older, I'm looser, I'm forgiving once now. It's just sorry if you were one of my fans because I was a radical. I'm going to become softer and softer as I get old. Fractal Man says, the conversation last night was ridiculous. Old refuted arguments repeated for over 3 hours. Very disrespectful to you and your audience. It makes me appreciate JFG tonight. The level of discourse in this chat is orders of magnitude better. Oh yeah, it's special what we have here. You can try reproducing it, but there's not quite a way to reach this level of insight. Like the fact that you can ask people to watch the show of Nafal yesterday, and you are all going to converge toward a set of things that we take issue with. Just the fact that we can see that deep into the errors of others, and that I not only in my head, but I can see it coming from you guys on the chat, that is something very rare, something very rare. So CBC has gotten the government-funded media stamp of approval by Elon Musk. Our journalism, and so they've decided to leave Twitter because they're pissed. Our journalism is impartial and independent. To suggest otherwise is untrue. That is why we are pausing our activities on Twitter. Notre journalisme est impartial et indépendant. Prétendre le contraire est faux. C'est pourquoi nous suspendons nos activités sur Twitter. So pausing. Pausing is an interesting choice of word because it means at any time, what's the property of a pause? It's that you can unpause. And so it's not like we are refusing any further comment on Twitter. It's, we're going to pause. We've seen some of these pauses sometimes be canceled like within 3 days by other corporations. Not for the government-funded label, but, you know, these acts of, we will stand for this ID, and 3 days later they would come back. So I don't know how long the pause will be, but CBC is funded by the government. Any such thing would be pointed to as an unfair competitive advantage if it came from any other thing than the government. Like, you have a flow of money that was attributed to you by law, that was taken against people's will from their pockets, and it changes your perspective on the world. And it's good that Elon Musk is labeling all of it, because there was a time where I was dominating these people on the public space. There was a time where I would get more viewers on my videos than CBC. And then Susan Wojcicki came, advantage the corporate world, then the Twitter started advantaging the corporate world, and basically they took over the internet illegally in an anti-competitive manner using algorithmic manipulations. And I'm glad that we are back to some kind of justice, although the damage done will never be recovered. It's like, I cannot become bigger than CNN now, but I was bigger than CNN when they came in late onto the internet. And when you think about if the entire world had been fair since then, perhaps I would still be bigger than CNN. If they hadn't had those little kicks from Susan Wojcicki, perhaps no one would have ever cared about listening to them. And same thing for CBC. I remember they were very small on the internet, still as of today. They only have 10 times more subscribers on Twitter than me, approximately one order of magnitude above. I remember they were much smaller. And so all of this was artificially obtained by people who don't really care about the internet. They are latecomers to the internet, and they don't dedicate their life to producing content on the internet. Angry Sicilian says, a Frenchman can tell you to fuck off in French and it turns you on. That's what you're telling me, it turns you on? I don't know what you're talking about. John Drake says, if Trudeau gets his way, you will have to get a license to be a commentator, JF. Well, back in the days when they were starting this law, the idea was that an individual commenting about the news wouldn't qualify for their stuff. It would have to be a corporation of news that employs journalists. So if that still holds as they start applying the law, I guess I am not subject to that law, but hopefully I'm not. But at the same time, you know, you may want not to be subjected to that law, but then they come in and they will say, oh yeah, we're giving money now to Canadian culture. But we're only giving money to Canadian culture that subscribes to the license. And so eventually it might disadvantage me to not be considered Canadian culture. Anyways, it's always monopolistic crap, and I hate how the Canadian government manages the airwaves system, radio. You know, they impose all sorts of conditions on radios. And at some point, there was a right-wing radio in Quebec that lost their license because they weren't playing the right music. And they were doing too much commentary. I mean, it's unbelievable. This poor guy received 980 ETH about 6 years ago, huddled the whole time. No DeFi, no NFT, nothing. Just now fell for the Ethereum claim rewards scam. Clicked, lost all of his ETH. So I guess that was worth about $600,000. Token holdings down to $21. He has 100x now. Yeah, so the, you know, with people having their ETH wallet and MetaMask and constantly opened, MetaMask offers you a lot of smart contract crap. So you can visit a website and they can get you into the idea. Hey, you're going to have, you're going to claim some rewards. And then they send the smart contract operation to MetaMask. Now, if you read your stuff and if you make sure before you sign a smart contract or message or transaction, if you're smart about it and you really check the details, you're not going to lose your ETH. But if you're careless and you believe what the website says and you just blindly clicked sign, yes, confirm transaction, they can put anything in there. Well, they've put a full transfer of the 980 ETH. Hospitals sues AG over probe into transgender care service. Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City is suing Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey over his demand for records and testimony on gender-affirming care. The lawsuit, filed April 14 in Jackson County, asks a judge to deny Mr. Bailey's investigative demands, saying the requests are a burdensome overreach despite no allegations of wrongdoing. Mr. Bailey's office made the demand for records and testimony in a letter sent in late March. In February, his office had already confirmed an investigation by Missouri agencies into whistleblower allegations against the Washington University Transgender Center at St. Louis Children's Hospital. The whistleblower raised allegations that individuals at the Transgender Center had harmed hundreds of children each year, including by using experimental drugs on them. Now Mr. Bailey's office is also looking at Children's Mercy and made more than 50 requests for documents and information in his office March 24 investigative demand letter to the hospital. Requests include all instances when child abuse was reported to law enforcement and questions of whether Children's Mercy prescribes hormone blockers for or performs surgery on transgender individuals. Yes, I'm all for opening up this question, this matter. It's been a common practice in certain hospitals to offer these services, and there are certain states where it's starting to be illegal. So yes, let's dig and let's find out. Stop the Steal organizer apologizes after being accused of asking teen boys for dick pics. So I've consulted the evidence. I've looked at the Ali files, the Telegram channel. Basically, Ali Alexander was a sick sex enthusiast of gay sex of sorts. And in fact, if you believe the evidence, would have targeted people who were young, 15-year-old in one case, or somewhat young, somewhat older thereafter. And so you know, about the age limit, it's very limit, okay? And, you know, it's very clear that we're not talking about him trying to force this young boy. And there's much of a victim discourse, you know, inside the Milo crew, where they ask us to say basically the 15-year-old was sold on the idea of becoming a star, of rising into the political world. The thing is, those are pretty standard thing. Like when you do flirting, and I don't know about boys, I don't know about young men, but when you do flirting with girls, your social status matters, and them trying to find a place in society matters. And so it's a typical thing to say, all right, you're going to be my intern. And that's fine in an heterosexual relationship, as far as I'm concerned. Because, of course, there are advantages at working with your loved ones. Now, the fact that it happens also in the gay community, I didn't know, but okay. But at the same time, you have to understand that this 15-year-old teenager was very much involved, you know, he wanted it. He wanted to get fucked in the ass to elevate himself into the political sphere. So now you're going to tell me, well, at 15-year-old, you cannot want, you cannot consent. That is true. And so technically, it's wrong, and it's perhaps even criminal what what Ali has done, depending on the states where it all happened. But in any case, leaving aside the question of the age, definitely this indicates that that some of the people that are put in front of the screen for us to see are really feeble individuals with extremely low morals, and that have these ridiculous double lives and these ridiculous interests in their personal sex life. And Ali Alexander, to me, has never been subject to my trust or my admiration of any kind. I've always detected something creepy about him, and it turns out that he was just more creepy than even I could detect. So, overall, some friends of Ali Alexander are now spreading the rumor that it would be done with public life. I mean, anyways. It's all dead. It's not like Ali Alexander had any contributions to do. His peak moment would have been Stop the Steal. And that was a big failure, you know? Because if your movement is called Stop the Steal, you need to stop the steal. And it didn't happen, as far that there wasn't really a stopping of the stealing. The stealing continues. White woman viciously attacked by a group of black teens. Very strong words by Matt Walsh, who says, you absolutely never see videos like this with the races reversed. Never. Doesn't exist. At some point, we need to discuss why this kind of violence literally always goes one way. You know, that is a very good statement by Matt Walsh. There is here a problem of asymmetric violence, in this case, crowd violence. Why is it that you basically never, and virtually never, I mean, I would say to leftists who say I'm wrong on this, show me the evidence, show me the videos. Did you ever see 30 white people in 20, you know, like in the last 50 years of video evidence? Have you ever seen 30 white people suddenly all team up against a single black individual, beat him down until he's on the floor, and continue beating him down while he's on the floor, giving the most vicious hits possible that aim to destroy his brain, basically kill him? I never saw this, really. And when we see these body cam videos of, okay, this is police abuse of a black man, I see the type of violence that is much more restrained than this. This is unrestrained mob attempt at killing. So see, the problem is you can see the beginning of the altercation here. There's a white woman. Now, she's getting annoyed by a single black person. So they're trying to force her, push her. The mob accumulates in a way that will constrain her movement. They're kidnapping her. They are forcing her to... I don't know what the guy is trying to do. Is he trying to touch her? But she's trying to escape. Look at her hands. She's just trying not to be kidnapped. And the crowd goes after her. And look at them. They give all sorts of hits. And yes, the problem here is that there's a bunch of people who have been injected a political ideology of entitlement that even this kind of violence is justified, that the only thing that can fix the collective violence they have been the victim of in times past is current collective violence. And this has been fully pushed by the leftist media, while the leftist media was claiming that people like me are dangerous. The leftist media inserted these dangerous memes into black people's brain in America while saying that the greatest threat is white extremism. Well, when's the last time you've seen white people do this kind of white extremism? When can you imagine this guy being white, this guy being white, this guy being white, this guy being white? If you really think that white extremism is a problem, you would think that these events would happen, that we'd at least get a couple on video, you know, in the last 30 years. It's not happening because this mentality of Marxist racial entitlement was exclusively promoted into black people's brain. Matt is on fire. You people aren't interested in fighting against it. We're not going to sit around and wait for you to execute your master plan to win back the culture. You have no such plan.
This is what the GOP establishment and its donor class don't understand. Okay? We are sick and tired of this. We are sick and tired of watching as our culture is claimed piece by piece by madness and degeneracy. We are not okay with it. We are furious about it, in fact. And we aren't following your lead in the fight against it because you people aren't interested in fighting against it. We're not going to sit around and wait for you to execute your master plan to win back the culture. You have no such plan. You're satisfied to let the culture crumble and decay as long as you can have a hand in ruling over the rubble. And that's how we got to this point in the first place, where transgenderism is the sort of thing that even Bud Light feels it needs to promote.
It's very interesting to see what Matt Walsh is trying to do. He's trying to do the last layer of let's drink the blood of the alt-right, but not this subject. And so Tucker Carlson basically is the model here. Tucker Carlson was able to be based on all sorts of Trump-safe-related subject, was kind of timidly touching the issue of race without ever saying it explicitly, and kind of, yes, covering the transgender issue, but not as explicit as Matt Walsh. And that's the model of Tucker Carlson. Be secretly based, but explicitly mainstream. Matt Walsh is trying to do the next layer of this, which is basically be based on all subject except the Jews. except the question of the Jews. It's an interesting take, you know. And yeah, you know, it could pay off. Personally, you know, as a man who's mostly interested in the truth, I don't care about winning the culture war that much. I care much more about the truth. And so I'm going to talk about subjects that relate to Israeli interest in America. But for Matt Walsh, who's trying to build a clean image, do we need a fighter out there who's fully based on race, fully based on trans issues, but just keeps this taboo of the Jewish question being employed by Jews anyway? So it's not like they would let him do it. You can make a pragmatic argument that, you know, it's a bright thing that Matt Walsh is doing, that he should be doing that. You know, personally, I don't take issue. Not everyone has to engage with all truths. As long as he's aware of it personally and he knows that it's a pragmatic thing, he knows, look, I'm shutting up on this subject because I really want to win on those subjects. That is fine to me. Don't be ignorant about it, though. That is what I would say to Matt Walsh, but great success to him. I think that among the Daily Wire people, he seems to be the one who's willing to go as far as they get. So credit to him for, just like Tucker is the one willing to go as far as Fox News will let him go. So you need people like this to kind of balance things out and not create these isolated bubbles of thinking. Elon Musk says U.S. government had access to private Twitter DMs. During an upcoming appearance on Tucker Carlson's show, Elon Musk reveals that the U.S. government has had access to people's private Twitter DM, the degree to which government agencies effectively had full access to everything that was going on Twitter blew my mind. I was not aware of that. Would that include people's DM? Yes, responded Musk. Well, yeah, and that's a problem. The problem is that non-encrypted is going to be subject to this. So I would say to Elon Musk, think seriously about developing technologies so that it's not even possible to do this. Because as long as it's going to be possible, there's going to be pressure on you to do it. Once Twitter is truly free, it will be when it's client-based, decentralized, blockchain, end-to-end encryption type of stuff. You cannot be constantly this target of government demands. They will always go further and further until you either kneel or they get what they want. You either kneel and they get what they want, or you don't, and then you're going to be in trouble. A black teenager was shot after ringing the wrong doorbell. Okay, so this is the Kansas City case of a man who's referred to by many as a scholar. A scholar of 16 years old. I was thinking about this today because all these mainstream media articles, he's not dead. As far as I can tell, he received two shots. He got saved eventually. And so there's a GoFundMe to help him right now, but he seems to have survived the shooting. Now, I was laughing my ass off because I was like, no one wants to call me a scholar. And I'm a 39-year-old with a scholarly theory. This guy takes two bullets in the head and in the arm, and he gets called a scholar. He's 16 years old. What kind of scholarly accomplishment does he have? Because if you go look at my Wikipedia bio, I'm not a scholar. I'm a former maybe scientist at some point in his life. But it's like they really want to push this back as far as they can in the past. But this guy is a scholar because he's playing saxophone here. Can't you see? Can't you see the scholarly look? Anyways, going into the story, it's amazing. The mainstream media has decided to go full Jesse Smollett on this, in the sense that with the Jussie Smollett hoax that we knew was a hoax, the media went way too fast into siding with Jussie Smollett. And you have still a couple of tweets up by politicians, by various media, that were just believing the story, as you know, Jussie Smollett has been the victim of a racist attack. And they went very quick and very much too quick, to, in my view, to jump to the conclusion that what's in the GoFundMe page written by the family of this young man is necessarily the truth and all the truth that's relevant. So, okay, he just rang the doorbell. Some racist white man. He rang the doorbell at about 10 p.m. He was at the wrong house. He wanted to just go look for his twin brothers. And he wanted to go get them. And he just ended up at the wrong house, rang on the wrong doorbell. And a racist, white, 80-year-old man comes out, shoots him twice, and that's it. Now, as he flees from the white man, he had to stop at three different houses, and the two first houses rejecting his request for help, and the third house accepting to call the police, but asking him to stand, to lay with his body down onto the floor until the police would arrive. That is the story as it is told by the GoFundMe and as it is told right now by the mainstream media. Here's a couple of things. First, when you are talking about the families of young black men who are the victim of a shooting, you're talking about people in the past who have demonstrated numerous times that they can be absolutely dysphoric, that they can be excusing criminality on the part of their family member, that they cannot conceive in their brain that their little boy may have done a little more than he says. So you have to be careful when you're taking statements from the family, especially economically interested statements on a GoFundMe. You know, you have to be okay, this is the best case that can be made for the young man because it's made by people who love him for the purpose of gathering money. And I find it almost fraudulently criminal the way in which the leftist media jumps on the conclusions that, okay, all this GoFundMe is true. They give the link to the GoFundMe so that people send money to this family before knowing the whole truth. Because there certainly is much more truth to be told here than what we're told. And certainly, if the truth that we're being told right now is so advantageous to the young man, the future facts that we learn about this case might very well be less advantageous because they will come from the other side. They will be the perspective of the old white male. So for now, let's remind ourselves that there is a castle doctrine in Kansas City. However, the castle doctrine in Kansas is subject to certain requirements. The person using the castle doctrine must be convinced that he is likely subject to great bodily harm or death, or that there is evidence of a kidnapping already having had occurred by a member of the household. So basically, to take action on this castle doctrine in Kansas City, you have to meet a condition of, it cannot just be someone on your land, but that hasn't done anything aggressive. There would have to be a conviction that in the white man that he is said to be white, we'll see that. But there would have to be a conviction that his life was in danger. I will note a couple of things. The white man was released without charges. In Kansas, the police is obligated to release within 24 hours after the initial arrest if there are no victim statements. And there are no victim statements. That is a very interesting thing. Because I'm being there's an article just shared that shows that he is out of hospital. It seems that if he is out of hospital, he could be able to make some kind of a statement. So why is there no victim statement? Some kind of lawyer or some kind of person speaking for the family was saying, I find it scandalous that we have to make a victim statement. Well, it seems that it's an easy thing to do, right? You rang the wrong doorbell. You got shot. This old man is a racist who shot you for being racist, for being black. It seems that if that was the story, that would be no problem to say it to a police, and there you go, you'd have your victim statement, and the man could be held in jail. I suspect that if he is not making a victim statement, it's because there is much more that we are not being told. That's the first thing. I believe this is probably indicating that him speaking any further about this incident would involve him into some lie of some kind about what was happening, what happened that night. And I believe that he's being counseled potentially to stay silent. It would be so easy. If that is the truth, it would be so easy to just say it. I can only believe that we have a liar here who spoke to the man, to the young boy or the family and said, look, this is much more complex than I initially thought. If it's the case that this and this and this and this is also true, I don't want you to say these things to the police. And if you were to make a statement right now to the police with your official story, you'd be lying and you'd be putting yourself in trouble for perhaps even more criminal grounds. Chuck Garrity says it's an unfortunate turn of events, but for the media to pounce on it and take it away out of context is terrible. Take it way out of context is terrible, yes. So that is my first thought. Other than this, the fact that the man is an 80-year-old perhaps justifies why the police is not super urgently trying to get him in jail. They think, you know, chances are this guy cannot even, you know, get out of his home very quick, cannot be a flight risk, would be lost anywhere he goes. So perhaps they don't consider him much of a danger, which is why they would not insist on getting the victim statement. So we'll see. But it would be very wise for the media to not be as quick on these things, where clearly we're missing a perspective here. I would like to hear what the white man has to say. People were pointing that the time initially had a different description, hesitated between ringing the doorbell and entering the wrong house. Eventually, they corrected the article toward ringing the wrong doorbell, but in the cache of their thumbnail, we can see the initial title, entering the wrong house. So here, there's a question. Was he just ping, waiting there? Or did he just invite himself in? Perhaps showed himself carelessly, you know, touching things or giving the impression that he may be a thief or a kidnapper? Much complexity remains to be resolved. This is the ridiculous title. Scholar Raf Jarl, 16, is shot in head by white homeowner after ringing wrong doorbell, picking up his twin brothers in Kansas City. Musical genius begged neighbors for help, but they refused. Cops released gunmen from custody. This is unbelievable as a title. Like, how many abuse of journalistic process can we see in here? Well, first, scholar. Are there past internet references about musical genius Ralph Jarl, a known scholar. Like, if you're gonna put a label like this on a person, why are you waiting for them to be shot? It's like, if he was a scholar of any interest and a musical genius, I would expect that this musical genius has had some form of exposure to the internet before he got shot. Because when you become a hero and a martyr when you get shot, that tells me that probably the genius here is overplayed. Is shot in the head by white homeowner, people were pointing out, would you point the race of the homeowner if he was black? That is a very good point. Would they have titled with the race of the homeowner if he wasn't white? And you know, to what extent can we construe all of this in terms of racism when, as far as we know, this white old man was in his home, bothering no one, not trying to impose himself on anyone, not yelling at people unconsensually on the street of some other race? There's a black guy who came to his home. And at some point, you know, the racist explanation must be abandoned here. There was no way for this white man to make sure that a black man would happen to enter in his home. And yes, people talk about home invasions for the elderly. That should be a factor. I'm afraid that in the current liberal world, we will be unable to take this argument in because people have become too woke and too obsessed by race. But the fact is that for an elderly person, just the presence of a hostile entity in their home, they don't have as much movement as us. They are more limited. They have less reaction time. They may get a second where they can shoot, but if they don't use that second, they may be at risk of great bodily harm. And so it's going to be, it's something that I would like a jury to process. But I'm afraid that in the current world, this will be regarded as not an argument. The fact is, an old person can be neutralized even if they have a gun, because they have slower reaction time, they are more easily victimized, they are more easily controlled by crowds and by criminals. Dramatic video shows large mob looting Compton gas station. This is a phenomenon of gangs organizing and these flash mobs that just suddenly appear, and they benefit from the fact that there are so many of them that basically there no amount of security can stop them, and so they end up stealing. I mean, the way to protect against these flash mob eventually for certain grocery stores who really want to stay in business will probably to have basically a double entry cage at the entrance of their grocery store, and you have to enter the cage, lock the door behind you before you can enter the store. So people can only enter one at a time or something like that. Rodilison says, straight out of Compton, where's Dr. Dre and Ice Cube when you need them? Exactly. Chicago police encourage people to enjoy what the city has to offer a day after teen takeover chaos. So, groups of people in Chicago have been acting criminally and destroying various things and partying and wilding, as they say. We saw some lots of damage on vehicles. You know, every time I look at this video, I'm like, despite the whole wokeness, the police is still very white in Chicago. Like, if I was this guy, I would run. I don't know how much they're paying you, dude. But, like, your life is on a... your life is a ticking bomb. It's 1 minute before midnight. It's time to exit Chicago, bro. Look at all these white cops. Small white female cops. Oh, God. Oh, my God. White old people living in Chicago. What the fuck? Oh, my God. I would be leaving this crappy place. I've been living 1 month in Chicago, and I was young and naive. But now, now that I look back at it, I was completely stupid. I mean, I was traveling at night, taking the metro, going in the worst areas, getting my gyros. The gyros are absolutely amazing in Chicago. The gyros is fucking insane. With sour cream and this whole sliced gyros and lettuce and red onion. They are absolutely fantastic. But I took so much risks for those gyros. Kim.com reports, breaking, DOJ charges a Chinese internet troll army for propagandizing and intimidating social media users. The irony, the world's largest internet troll army is funded by the CIA. They use millions of fake social media accounts to spread propaganda and harass pro-peace voices. Yeah, I do have the impression that there is a lot of non-genuine internet activity out there. So be careful. And I think it's meant mostly to intimidate creators and people who are known to kind of shape their view. It's like they try to punish you for taking a stance on something. And they try to manipulate and push you in a direction. Thankfully, I'm so autistic that I could never be affected by any of it. Watcher Guru says, SEC charges Bitrex crypto exchange for violating federal laws. Well, that is too bad. That is very bad because Bitrex had been working for me. I've been using it a couple of times simply because at some point they were the only exchange allowing library credits to be traded. So Bitrex had been very useful in that instance. It was kind of an out there exchange, not an exchange that I would recommend to a person starting out, but it was working. And it's just an illustration that the SEC is going hard on the crypto space. Newly discovered a seafloor seep off Oregon coast on fault line, maybe harbinger to major quake. Look at this. They are seeing what seems to be the symptom of a coming earthquake or something, an instability in the tectonic plates, a release of pressure from the ground. So what are we looking at? Are we looking at the recently found video of an underwater drone surveilling the seafloor seep? Okay, so that's a drone that would be looking for that kind of splashing smoke or vapor or whatever that is. And people were discussing this video happening in Chicago, Harlem, Jackson, at the Chicago Oak Park border, they say. Yeah. These videos show so much chaos in these people's lives. It's like they hate each other, they fight. They fight with their husband. They roll their husband under the car as they try to drive onto the other, to bump onto the other car. They break the gas pump because they break the car as they try to roll over the car. And then they break their own car because they're trying to flee from the scene. And they make an error on the turn. I mean, the levels of chaos is like, this cognitive load cannot be sustained by the human brain. Hold my bag, sending insults to this white guy, or is he a white guy? Now, this guy is getting rolled. So it appears that this would be his girlfriend or whatever. He's trying to do some crazy stuff with the car. And he got hurt on the head. His girlfriend is going around. It seems that this black woman is saying, "Go, my baby, hit it. My children are in the car. Go ahead and roll that car over. Hit it. I dare you to roll over my car with my children in it." That's not a smart thing to do. I wouldn't dare on a child's life like this. That is stupid. My kids are in there for the movie. Just to add to the layers of chaos, LLQ, love, broken heart, written on top of the gas price. Fill up and save with refreshing rewards. Save 3 cents. 3 cents. Okay, that is not a lot. Now, it appears that the male is trying to inhibit the female's desire to roll over the children. But he fails. As he fails, I observe an extremely thin G-string. I mean, this is truly a line G-string, but it is being mounted onto an ass that is so big in and of itself that it actually creates an effect of perspective. The G-string appears even smaller, which is already a very small G-string. So this is another black female trying to attack with a... bottle of water or something, Gatorade maybe. Now, not only as she rolls over, she bumps the car with the children in. Her boyfriend is being forcibly carried by the vehicle with his hands stuck, apparently. Stuck somewhere in there. And oh, okay, the boyfriend got released. That's good. Okay, the car with the children inside, they may have only emotional trauma, but it appears that physically they'll be okay because she only bumped on the front.
Shit.
And believe it or not, as she flees from the scene, she successfully rolls over her own vehicle.
Damn!
What the fuck?
She flipped the whole truck.
That is like a million points in GTA.
You dumbass, bitch!
Be that, be that, be that. I didn't got one, baby.
She laughs maniacally as she exits the truck.
I ain't even got one. Uda. She just tweet.
Now, we got the Jiffy Lube, because in all of this, there's a Jiffy Lube garage that is filming the scene from the other angle, so we can see what happened with her flipping of the truck. She's going to bump here, and boom. Yeah, so she hit, as she was turning the 90 degrees, she hit the car that was in the middle lane, getting ready to veer left, and she just hit it too strong. Meanwhile, we saw here more images from the Chicago riots with destruction of cars here. So see, they step onto the capot, as we call it in French, the cover on the top of the engine, and that costs a lot to repair. It's not easy. You have to buy another one. It's not easy. This girl is she appears to be taking a position for CBC. She thinks that the government funded label of Elon Musk is hurting CBC.
Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre just called...
Oh yeah, it's a hood. The capo is a hood.
CBC News, which is one of the biggest news outlets in Canada, propaganda, which is an outright lie.
Fat Elvis says, wait, what's the rioting? Is that new? Yeah, it was in Chicago, the Chicago riots. As far as I can see, it is truly new. And the conflict at the gas station was from 16th of April, so it was yesterday.
And he said it after Elon Musk labeled CBC News government-funded media, despite the fact that it's a crown corporation, arm's length from government, and completely editorially independent. We have then cited Elon Musk's label as evidence that CBC is, quote, not news. And he fundraised off of it. Attacking the institutions that hold power to account just because you don't like them.
Okay, I was listening throughout this whole video because I was like, maybe it's a joke, maybe there's a kicker. No, it doesn't seem that there's a kicker. She's just thinking government funded is a bad label because it discredits the CBC. She literally thinks this, apparently. I do hope that it discredits the CBC. It is in the need of being discredited. Leaked document shows American smart bombs are failing in Ukraine. The highly classified document not only reviews the use of effective Russian countermeasures to make the smart bombs ineffective, but also says that in some cases, technical problems are resulting in failure to detonate. A larger problem is that Russia is using GPS jamming to interfere with the weapons targeting process, according to the side and a separate person familiar with the issue who's not in the US government. American officials believe Russian jamming is causing JDAMs and at times other American weapons, such as guided rockets, to miss their mark. I do think there may be concern that the Russians may be jamming the signal used to direct the JDAMs, which would answer why these munitions are not performing in the manner expected. Well, that is genius. I didn't know this, but when you think about it, we are so dependent on just two satellites being above our head and somehow telling us where on earth we are. If you have only this, and it must be relatively easy to blur this signal because it's an electromagnetic signal. And if you know the frequency and you can insert pulses in the right place in the in the right quantity at the right wavelength, I guess it's relatively easy. John Drake says, Russians are the best at signals warfare. Well, it hadn't struck my mind that, yeah, I mean, if you don't have GPS, then you have nothing. Then you're like an artillery shooter. It's taking you from the modern world down into the, all right, we can just catapult bombs now. When you think about it, that is quite significant. I wonder can they do this to, you know, those most advanced nuclear weapons? Are they based on GPS signals? Because, I mean, if a weapon like this is headed toward your country, you would absolutely want to wreck it and misdirect it elsewhere. Fat Elvis says, I have a neighbor who really doesn't believe in satellites. Oh, well, there are people who cannot be helped. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Thank you for being with me. And we have a couple of things this week. Holy shit, my schedule looks full. Patreon hangout tomorrow. If you're on Subscribestar backed by Patreon, come with us tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, right after the regular show. We're going to get our private hangout. And if you're not a member, subscribe now. We need your support to keep going. On Thursday, there will be the Halsey show at 10 a.m. And that seems to be it for the public schedule. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.